latest edition of the Global Game Podcast, the official podcast of the World Baseball Softball Confederation. It is the holiday season around the globe. Where I am, it is freezing cold in a way that, like, I don't know if human beings are supposed to be in cold, this kind of cold. And it's exciting to get a chance to wrap up the 2022 calendar year on the international baseball and softball landscape. My name is Tyler Ron, your host for the Global Game from WBSC, and thrilled to be joined on our year-end episode by one of the newest play-by-play voices in the WBSC family. And that is Tony Alvarez, who joins us from, I would ordinarily say, like, a much warmer climate. But Tony, where you are actually has not been that much warmer, although you said it's going to be like way warmer for Christmas and beyond. So I don't feel sorry for you. It's good to see you, man. How are you?
How you doing, Tyler? It's great to see you. We haven't seen each other since Sonora,
yes,
which was, what, like 4 months ago or so,
yes,
something like that.
We as will, crazy we'll as that is, that. August 26th to September 9th for the U15 Baseball World Cup. We got to hang out in Hermosillo together. And yeah, already 4 months ago. How is that possible?
Wow, I know, time flies. And you know what? In Sonora, we were not in a cold weather environment.
That is like, definitely true.
Not even close. We will
not
get
close.
Probably to that in a few. Yeah, it has been here in Tijuana, Mexico. My home is like 10 minutes from the border to San Diego in the U.S. And you know, well, the whole region's the same weather. So we've been hit with some cold weather probably since about a couple of weeks ago. But yes, like you just said, we're expected probably highs of 75, 77 for Christmas Day. And then for New Year's Eve, probably mid to low 50s and rain. So welcome to San Diego, Tijuana area.
You are in the, I think, like mid to upper 20s Celsius for those who are listening around the globe. Yesterday, when I landed in my hometown after a work trip to the Pacific Northwest here in the United States, I landed back home and it was negative 30 degrees Celsius, negative 21 Fahrenheit, which is not really common for my area, but it was miserable. I don't want to mince words. It was horrible. I hated it. And it has me dreaming of, you know, baseball weather and maybe not quite the heat of Sonora, but no, I would take that certainly over negative 21 degrees Fahrenheit, negative 30 degrees Celsius. And we're going to
look
some
spring training weather, probably.
Exactly. That I would be totally fine with. Spring training weather. You know, we are going to talk about the whole world calendar for baseball and softball in 2022, but I feel like on this point to start this month's episode of the Global Game, we should acknowledge that there is a country currently celebrating summer that is also celebrating a men's softball World Cup championship. Australia winning the men's softball World Cup on rival soil in Auckland, New Zealand, capturing the title of world champion on December 4th. And that's pretty nice. You can win a World Cup in November, December, and then go home and just like relax on the beach, chill, have an Aussie Christmas with some snags, hanging out on the beach. That I would be totally fine with if I was going to win a World Cup title in December.
Well, I mean, why not, right? I mean, if you're going to play quote winter baseball,
right?
I mean, why not do it under the sun and with some warm weather, I guess, and then enjoy all the December festivities like that and the title, of course. And you know, I mean, I don't want to get too much into this because I know we have to get into a lot of stuff, but hasn't Australia in the last, 15, 20 years probably progressed so much in baseball and softball, and in this case, deservedly so, the championship. And I mean, we got to see you've got to see them up close and personal more times than me, but we've got to see just the development of the players in just both sports that, well, we know and as one in essence. And just kudos to their work ethic, and they're going places. They've been in places for quite some time now, and they're trying to probably, you know, live up to their hype. And this championship definitely it validates what they're working on since, wow, I guess early 2000s probably to say, you know, probably like a year.
Really since the Sydney Olympics 2000, even prior to that with the first run of the Australian Baseball League. Of course, 2004 on the baseball side, Australia won the silver medal in the Olympic Games. It is very impressive what they have been building in baseball and softball and in recent years. And a huge congratulations to the Steelers, as the Aussie National Softball Program is known at the senior men's level. Australia with the championship there, Canada with the silver, the United States taking bronze. A lot of surprises in that Men's Softball World Cup. New Zealand did not qualify for the Super Round. New Zealand had played in world championship game after world championship game for the last couple of decades. In the Men's Softball World Cup, they just missed out on qualifying for the Super Round on home soil in Auckland. The reigning world champions, Argentina, they also failed to make the world championship final, but still, you know, acquitted themselves very, very well in that title defense. And that was really the last, it was the last senior level competition of 2022. Mm-hmm. And we will talk about the youth level competitions all the way through one of the final competitions of this year, which was the first virtual World Cup in WBSC history. But let's kick things off, just run down some of the events. And then Tony and I are going to talk about the events that we actually got a chance to see in person this year. Things started all the way back the world baseball softball calendar here in 2022 with the World Games in Birmingham, Alabama, from July 9th to the 13th. The United States captured gold in softball at the World Games, knocking off Japan in a reverse of what we saw in the Olympic Games. Chinese Taipei took the bronze. Haley McClenney was named the MVP of that World Game competition. And with the United States winning that title, they retained the championship that they won in 2019. As noted, it was a rematch of the gold medal game in Tokyo in 2020. And Chinese Taipei, this is the start of a theme that we will hear about as the year goes along. Chinese Taipei medaled in every single tournament they participated in 2020. Only the Men's Softball World Cup was absent from the list in 2022. Chinese Taipei on baseball and softball, incredible work. They hosted the WBSC U12 Baseball World Cup, which was later on that month, starting on July 29th, went through August 7th. The United States won gold, which will also become a theme. Venezuela took the silver. Chinese Taipei took the bronze. Colin Anderson was the MVP of that U12 Baseball World Cup. And that kicked off a run for the United States, winning U12, U15, and U18 all in consecutive order. There was also a historic moment in that U12 Baseball World Cup in which three women worked in an umpiring crew together in one game at the sixth WBSC U12 Baseball World Cup. And then came U15s, where you and I met for the first time, Tony Alvarez, and we got a chance in your home country to watch some really amazing baseball. We called that World Championship Final together, the United States against Cuba, a really upstart, very impressively passionate and sound Cuba team that made it all the way to the World Championship Final. There was a lot stacked against that Cuba team this year. They played really, really good baseball. There was a time in that World Championship Final when it looked like the U.S. was kind of threatening to break through. Then all of a sudden, Cuba storms right back. That thing goes down to the last inning, and the U.S. edges Cuba for the World Championship. Chinese Taipei took the bronze at that U15 World Cup. Coy James from the United States was named Most Valuable Player. I actually sat next to him on the flight out of Hermosillo the day after he and the United States won that World Championship. But your first WBSC experience, and we had so much fun getting a chance to do games and do games together. What do you remember most when you look back on U15s? What kind of stood out about that event to you?
Well, we had a lot of insects and flies in our booth. But
we did.
Besides
that is true. We did. They were trying to seek out the air conditioning.
Yes, and they were succeeding at times, I gotta say. There was a point it was terrible because the humidity was, oh my God, what do you say, like 90-something% of humidity?
Yeah.
It was terrible. And yet, there were times where Tyler and we were talking about this on the air and off the air and with the organizers and stuff, that also the AC was so cold because you're used to it, that we actually kind of opened the door for some heat to come in. And that was probably our mistake because some bugs came creeping in.
And then you and I got dragged by everybody else who didn't have the luxury of air conditioning. They were like, oh, it's too cold in the booth for you. But at Estadio Sonora, the air conditioning worked amazingly in our broadcast booth. So big ups to the Naran Harris and their front office staff. But U15s, we saw some really, really good baseball.
It was great. I mean, you talked about Coy James, and we got to see, I remember when it started, you know, Venezuela seemed that they could, you know, make some real noise. And sadly for them, they could not pick up a game to start the tournament versus the USA. And then USA, I guess that team started to feed off from the way that they came back in a few games and other games that maybe other teams, other countries didn't put them away. I mean, they were in the games, but later innings, I want to say experience, and that could play part in it. But at the end of the day, I think that just the development, the way that USA baseball is created or has been created to develop players to really, you know, hold yourself accountable for what you do and work for not a week, because let's be honest, and this is one of the things that I don't know if it's a real issue per se, but the way that USA baseball and also Canada and I'll say even Mexico at times prepare for these tournaments, it's, and I'll throw in, you know, Chinese Taipei and Japan and Korea, sometimes other countries that are, you know, filled with talent like Cuba, like Venezuela, other ones in South America and the Caribbean, they, in Europe also, they have so much talent, but they don't have much time to work together with a team that's going to be competing in the tournament. And I think that at the end of certain games, that comes into play, and the U.S. came back to win a few. And we talked about that off camera at times, that it seemed that maybe the U.S. wasn't as dominant in probably, what, the first five innings?
Yeah.
And then six and seven, they just blow out the game and they win convincingly. So and deservedly so, they are the champions. And like you said, that kind of continued a very important run for them in U12, U15, U18. And also, can we give kudos to the manager and the whole group there that worked with US? We'll talk about the other teams as well. But you cannot not talk about the champions and the way they won the games. And you were talking about that Cuba game, the semifinal game was huge,
right,
in terms of seeding and how it was going to be played on. And it was just a blast. It was a blast doing the game with you and meeting a lot of people there from personal standpoint. And just to get, you know, a sense of how youth baseball is played around the world. And we can talk about other countries. And, you know, that rematch with Czech Republic and France, they played, I believe it was the second round, I believe so, and they played in the championship European game for the final. So, right. I mean, so many things there, so many stories, so many players. South Africa has something special going on as well, even though they kind of struggled, or they did struggle. So many things. Well, we could just go on and on and on here.
It was three teams that made their U15 debuts, and you pointed out France. France was one of those. Guam was there for the first time as the qualifiers from Oceania. And Puerto Rico, which it kind of surprises people, I think, that Puerto Rico had not played at the U15 level before. But Puerto Rico qualifying, they made it to the Super Round. They narrowly missed out on making it into play for a medal. They finished fifth. But, yeah, I mean, you look at, you know, the development of baseball in a place like France, and this was an entirely homegrown roster for France. They ended up with two wins at the U15 Baseball World Cup. And they were, for me, one of the most impressive teams, because France never seemed to beat itself. And that's the worry always, especially in the young age groups, is there's going to be a lot of mistakes. There'll be a lot of errors. France was very fundamentally sound. That was the thing that I took away and, you know, got a chance to a little while later on in the summer, broadcast the World Baseball Classic qualifiers. France had a team there, and very similarly, just very fundamentally sound. Now you have to be able to get the big hits of the big times. Got to be able to get the big outs of the big times on the pitcher's mound. And unfortunately, that didn't happen for France this time around, or for Guam or South Africa. But there's a lot of promise with those teams. And, you know, for Puerto Rico, being able to make it in doesn't hurt that you got Juan Gonzalez as your manager at some of these levels when, you know, you're putting together teams that are competing for world championships. You've got somebody like Juan Gonzalez. You've got somebody like Yadier Molina, who's involved with Puerto Rican national teams at different levels. It is amazing to me to see the talent that comes out of all of these countries, but especially in a circumstance like Puerto Rico, the first time for that country competing at this level, and they didn't come in wide-eyed and, you know, unprepared for the moment. They were right there. They played very, very good baseball, made it into the Super Round, very nearly made it to play for a medal, which was really incredible. And it was just so much fun. I mean, U15s, was the kickoff, at least for us, for a great few tournaments that we got to do, because you went straight on from U15s to U18s. And basically, did you even go home? You just flew straight from Sonora to Florida, didn't you?
I did came home. I took a flight. Well, the tournament ended on a Sunday. It was a Sunday night.
Right.
And I took a flight early Monday morning. I just came in. I checked in on my other job for a couple of days. And then on Wednesday evening, was it Wednesday? Oh, God, I don't remember. I think, no. It was Monday, Tuesday. I think it was Wednesday morning that I just crossed the border to San Diego and took a flight from San Diego Airport to Tampa Bay. So, I mean, it was, but you know, it was fun. It was great. And I'll talk about the weather there as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, just kind of all that, the whole situation of, let me check the schedule. Oh, you got to go do another tournament. I'm pretty sure that you've done that before.
Yes.
A lot. You did it actually in the last part of the year. Well,
yes.
We'll get to that eventually. But it was fun. And just the whole preparing for the next tournament while you're still in the first one, it was fun. I could just, before we just jump to the U18, I just want to point out, do you remember the only young lady playing in the U15? It was, I think it was Christina Eldenam for Czech Republic.
For the Czech Republic.
Boy, she was great.
She was very fun to watch. Very fun to watch. Very disciplined plate approach, a very good swing. Her team didn't make it through the super round, but she was a great story in this U15 Baseball World Cup. And, you know, one of my favorite elements, when people have asked, you know, what it is about baseball that makes her want to keep playing, why not go to softball, why not blah, blah, blah. She loves baseball. She wants to play baseball, plays on a national team. This was not some token roster spot that was awarded. She earned her spot through the tryout process with the Czech Republic. And that is a national team program to watch. The Czech Republic is building a very, very impressive baseball foundation. You saw it in the World Baseball Classic qualifiers. They qualify for the Classic for the first time ever with an entirely homegrown roster of players. There is a lot of talent coming out of the Czech Republic. You can go back, of course, several episodes ago now, back in our June episode, Martin Cervenka, the catcher from that Czech Republic WBC team. He was on this podcast, The Global Game. You can go listen to sort of what they're building there. But yeah, Christina was such a cool story. We had a lot of cool stories with U15s, and she was one of the best.
Definitely. And like you said, we should keep an eye on these youngsters from Czech Republic. In a few years, I'm pretty sure we're going to see them at higher levels still playing.
Yes.
We talked about France and what they did on the World Baseball Classic and all that. But, you know, we've kind of seen, and we'll talk about the Netherlands for the U18, but we kind of seen that from Europe, there were certain countries that kind of had dominated the sport in recent years. And now we see other countries stepping up, Czech Republic, France.
Right.
Netherlands has always been there, and they're still very much talented. But I think they're like looking, you know, behind their shoulder, like, here comes other countries.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun for the next year's development of those
baseball
programs.
And it's a very good transition to talk about U18s, because one of the teams that really made a lot of noise at U18s, and I didn't cover that tournament, you did, in Bradenton and Sarasota, Florida, Brazil. And we'll talk about the teams that won and that medaled, but Brazil was a team that made a lot of headlines. They end up finishing, I think, with the fourth most wins of any team at U18s. And even though they didn't make it into the super round, that's pretty impressive. And that's another country that we've talked about a lot in recent years. Again, at the World Baseball Classic level, they narrowly missed making it to the Classic for the first time since 2012, I believe. But they're building something really impressive there as well.
That was a fun story. I mean, we had the chance to – I called the first game for Brazil in the tournament, and I remember kind of, okay, well, I mean, we'll keep an eye on them, and we know they like the sport, and so on and so on. And, boy, they had an amazing comeback win. I remember in their opening game, they were down. I remember like it was yesterday. They were down, and they were down big, and all of a sudden they just came back, and in the last at-bat – their catcher was amazing, and he got the game-winning hit, and they pretty much upset everyone in the tournament. I mean, now that I think about it, they beat South Africa in the first round, but But that game against Canada, which I do not want to talk bad about anyone, but I am extremely disappointed in Canada's U18 team. I expected a lot more because also the way they develop their players and the experience their coaches have. And that, I don't think that's something to be ashamed of if you're Canada, the way things went down for them in the tournament. I think it speaks more and better of how other countries have come to love the sport, understand the sport, and play around it and develop it, etc. Canada had a 2-0 lead, and Brazil came back also in their last at-bats to win it. That was a huge upset. I mean, Brazil came a win away from Super Round, which was amazing, and so many players that you say, okay, this guy can go pro someday. Why not? And That's the beauty of it. We talk about other countries. Brazil is one of them, like you mentioned, and it was definitely a surprise, and we have to keep an eye on them, and that's what we love about the sport. That's exactly what we love about the sport.
The U18 Baseball World Cup hosted in Sarasota and Bradenton, Florida in the United States. The United States continuing its run through U12, U15, and U18, capturing the world championship there, knocking off Chinese Taipei. Japan takes bronze. But the wild thing about that U18 Baseball World Cup is the United States had to win two games on the final day to win that championship. And you guys dealt with weather throughout in both Bradenton and Sarasota. The U.S. was scheduled to play its semifinal game and potentially earn its way into the World Championship final, and then saw it washed out by rain on Saturday. So it was bumped back to Sunday, the final scheduled day of the tournament. The U.S. had to play and win a game earlier in the day and then play in essentially the nightcap and beat Chinese Taipei to win the world championship. And that there is not a lot that you'll see at the WBSC level that you'll see like, oh, you may not see that again. That is something that, you know, we never know how weather is going to be. There's a chance you'll never see that again, that you see a team play its semifinal game and the world championship final within a span of hours to win a title like the U.S. did.
Oh, yes, it was special, definitely. I mean, Bryce Eldridge was named the MVP of the tournament. 3 home runs, 10 runs scored, 13 batted in for him. He batted .316. And it was also one of those situations, Tyler, that similar to U15, that, okay, U.S. probably not as dominant as we've seen. And then all of a sudden, second round, and they were just lights out. And also in the later innings of games that probably they were, especially in pitching, maybe not as dominant as we thought they could be, they just look just great performances from the bullpen, and you know, timely hitting. I mean, it was just great how clutch they were. And that day, I remember it was funny because the whole tournament we had weather issues, just rain and thunderstorms throughout. And when I say throughout, I literally say from day two, I believe we had storms. And many games got pushed, and we have to play. I remember a day we played 4 games, and like you said, the whole chaos with the last game, because we knew that U.S. was going to play for medals, but we didn't know which medals until literally the last day. And that day, for some reason, there was no rain. We had enough sun to play a doubleheader before the championship game and also like the bronze medal game, et cetera. But we had a blast over there in Bradenton. It was hot and humid as well. I mean, don't let the rain fool you. If we could have worn shorts, we would have. But many other things there. Like, I remember we talked about Brazil and Netherlands. Netherlands came oh so close. They had a great team, but they just couldn't close out games as well at times. And I just want to point out Panama. They had some issues with travel. They came in late. They had to start their tournament a couple of days after, so they were a couple of games behind. They had to play some doubleheaders, etc. But they played well, and you just gotta wonder that if they would have started at the same time that others, how much of an effect that would have had, probably mentally, because I know that when you go to the standings, you say, well, you're still gonna play the game, so I mean, it's fine. But I guess it gets into your head, you know, Tyler. I mean, we get in late, and all of a sudden, a team is already 2-0, and we still have to play our games. But I don't know. They were, I think they were, put in a tough situation from their logistics and all that. But what I want to say is that in the old world team at the end of the tournament, we got to vote. And there were many players that came in close of making the team. But Luis Escudero, second baseman, boy, he was good defensively and offensively. And I think that just shows, like what we've said, that many teams, from what we know, are just right there. And in this case, I do believe that, you know, since they got in a little late, it kind of affected their approach in a way. But I mean, they're right there, and I just can't go on and on and on and on. I mean, he was the only player, and also a couple of Mexican players, shortstoppers, Mamberdugo, San Diego Padres prospect, by the way, and Yad Romero, first baseman, also signed with a MLB organization. But the rest, you know, from nine players, three of those didn't make the medal round, and one of those was from Panama. So, I mean, I think it's just we have to recognize that.
Absolutely agreed. And pretty amazing stuff to watch throughout. That is always, for my money, maybe the most exciting WBSC World Cup event, U18s, just because players are at such a fascinating stage in their careers, and the games are always so well played. The talent is always so impressive. And, you know, what a way to close it out with a lot of baseball on the final day. The U.S., you know, as you noted, a team that had to do a lot of work late. They were trailing 3-2 going into the final inning, and they rallied for a win over Japan in that semifinal game to move on and play Chinese Taipei. They were trailing 1-0 going into the fourth inning. And that game, those are only seven inning games, they rallied to win with a 5-1 victory to take the world championship, their 10th at the U18 level. And that capped off the U18 Baseball World Cup. So then sent us on to Taiwan. That was September 9th to the 18th in Florida, the U18 Baseball World Cup. It was about a month later that we saw the U23 Baseball World Cup come to life all across the island of Taiwan. Chinese Taipei, the host for that. And it was an Asia sweep in the medals. Japan winning the world championship, Korea coming in with silver, and Chinese Taipei winning the bronze, so continuing their string of medals. And it was neat to see, again, a very weather-affected event, but it was neat to see Chinese Taipei, you know, playing kind of all around the country and getting an opportunity to showcase a lot of young talent, talent that's going to be making the climb in the CPBL in Taiwan toward the top-level professional circuit there. Chinese Taipei just continues to churn out really impressive baseball talent. And we even saw after this some Chinese Taipei players getting signed by major league organizations in the United States, getting looks elsewhere to play professionally. But Japan was, you know, was just as good as it got in that tournament in U23s. And Ryusei Ganda ended up being the tournament most valuable player because he came out of the bullpen in pretty much every single game as it felt. He played seven games, came on in relief, including the final. He picked up five saves, and seven of the 12 teams who took part in the U23 Baseball World Cup ended up putting a player on the WBSC All-World team. And I think it really, Tony, just confirms sort of what you've been talking about, that there is so much talent across the globe. You look at these All-World teams and it's like, oh, everybody has contributors who are as good or better at certain spots than everybody else. There are very few teams that come in and are out of their depth. That just doesn't really happen in these competitions. And, you know, this one, returning Japan to the top spot at U23s for the first time since 2016, that's something that Japan has really felt like it had not been doing right, competing at the U23 level, the U18 level. And they, I mean, across the board, were so impressive. Ren Onishi finished a tournament with a 500 batting average. He was a guy who was just a spark plug all throughout for Japan. That team had the best starting pitcher of the tournament, Ren Tomita. It was a very well-rounded squad. And that's, you know, what really U23s is all about, because you see so many guys who are at the dawn of their professional careers, they're kind of figuring themselves out as elite adult baseball players rather than being at the youth level. And U23s very much showed just how good Japan continues to be in replenishing all of its top level talent. All these guys are going to be, you know, for the ones who haven't already made big headlines in Nippon Professional Baseball, they're all going to be very soon. We might see them on World Baseball Classic teams, Premier 12 teams over the next couple of years. But similarly to what you said about U18s, could have gone with less rain. Would have been very happy with less rain.
and I mean, you had to travel a lot. And
it was a good amount of travel. We did have one day where we ended up being rained out in Taipei for the third straight day. So we caught a train. Adam Wong, my color analyst, and I caught a train down to Tainan, did some games down there, caught the high-speed rail back up after a doubleheader. It was a long day, but it was a fun day. It's the type of day, you know, you and I have talked about this a lot after U15s, type of day that you'll talk about with your kids and grandkids, you know, 20, 30, 40 years from now, of like, oh, yeah. And then I had this weird one where I had to catch a train and go broadcast games 250 miles away from morning until night. And it was pretty dang fun, I got to say. So big congratulations to Japan. That snapped the streak of USA Baseball winning a championship at every World Cup, because USA Baseball does not send a team to U23s. So then we moved on to some of the most unique events on the WBSC calendar in 2022, the first of which was the Baseball 5 World Cup, which was held in the Zocalo in Mexico City from November 7th to the 12th. And Cuba captures the first ever Baseball 5 World Championship. So much has been made in recent years about Cuba's fall off at the international baseball level. I was very happy to see that celebration from that Cuba team winning that world championship for the first time, the way they were greeted as heroes when they returned home. Japan won silver, Chinese Taipei took bronze, but that was a very cool event. And it's something to launch an event like Baseball 5. It's another thing to launch a World Cup and hold it in one of the most iconic, you know, civic locations on the globe, in the Zocalo, in the heart of Mexico City. The backdrop for that event was incredible. The photos, the fans who were there. Baseball 5 is such a unique discipline. And what was really cool about this Baseball 5 World Cup, it's a mixed discipline as well. So teams had female and male athletes taking part in this first ever event. The Baseball 5 High Five was awarded to the athlete, National Federation, fan, and any other player who through social media reflected the Baseball 5 values. And the winner of that, Takeru Miyanohara from the Japanese national team, capturing that award for the first time. This whole thing was just amazing. I wasn't in attendance at the Baseball 5 World Cup, but was watching from afar. And Baseball 5 will make its debut at the Youth Olympics in Dakar in 2026. This is just, you cannot overemphasize how great this was for a first event for Baseball 5 at the World Cup level.
I mean, this was amazing. I remember when WBSC first told me about this event and, oh, this is our calendar for the year, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, Baseball 5. And I'm like, what's Baseball 5? Well, this and this and this. And I'm like, what? And you kind of don't understand it as well as you do until you see it. And right, once you see it, you are oh so into it.
You're hooked. I mean, immediately.
Yeah. It's dynamic. It's probably faster, you know, for some people that might think that our beautiful love for the sport could be because it's a little slow. Well, this is a little fast. So you might be a little interested if you're, you know, first time listener or something like that. And like you said, you know, the fact that they're mixed teams, that helps a lot, I do believe. And there were, you know, awards for men and women, for female and male athletes. And it's very fun to watch. And to be honest, Tyler, you know, Craig Durham was there. He was calling the games. I hope that we can creep in for the next edition, you and I, because I cannot wait to watch it live. You know, this is pretty fun. And you talked about being in Mexico City. Something I do want to point out about that is that in Mexico, yes, we are crazy about baseball and, you know, softball teams also. So to have this event, you know, for the first time ever there were a lot of people. I mean, the crowd was just amazing. Yes. Everyone was involved. We know that, you know, there's a lot of MLB baseball stuff doing, the MLB is doing a lot of stuff there and in Mexico. But just the fact that WBSC held a tournament like this in the capital of the country, and a lot of people were tuning in and just attending I think that's like the cue for, okay, that we have to like do more stuff like this. And like you said, we're in the innovating part of the calendar, starting with this tournament. And I mean, this one's here to stay. I just really hope we can be there for the next one. It's fun. I'm still getting involved with the rules and all that, but it's great. It's
cool.
And many games in one day. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. That's the other thing that's so crazy is baseball five games just kind of fly by. And it is just such a differently paced and differently strategized sport. And if you don't know anything about Baseball 5, you can look it up, all of the info at WBSC.org, and you can learn about Baseball 5. Essentially, think of baseball, if you were playing it, like handball. That's sort of where Baseball 5 was, its genesis, its origin story, and pretty amazing stuff. And a huge congratulations to the world champs of the first ever Baseball 5 World Cup, as the celebration for Cuba was a very cool one to see in the Zocalo in Mexico City. And the visibility of having an event like that in the middle of, like I said, one of the most, you know, immediately recognizable civic structures on the planet was very, very cool. So then we moved into the Northern Hemisphere winter, the Southern Hemisphere summer. And we discussed, obviously, the Men's Softball World Cup. And again, huge congratulations to the Aussie Steelers, Australia winning the international largest stage World Cup for men's softball, capturing the Men's Softball World Cup, like I said, on rival soil in New Zealand. Silver to Canada, bronze to the United States. Marshall Kronk was named the MVP of that Men's Softball World Cup. And then in December, the U-12 Mixed Softball World Cup. So teams of boys and girls competing in Taiwan, Chinese Taipei capturing that championship. So yet another medal for Chinese Taipei, yet another world title for Chinese Taipei. The Czech Republic coming in second, getting silver, and a very, very close finish for that one as well, with Czech Republic capturing the silver medal. Singapore takes bronze. Quan Zitian is the MVP of that Mixed Softball World Cup, which was a very cool event, a shortened event, a little bit smaller event, December 7th to the 12th. And then we come to the final event. Now, not calendar-wise, the final event, but the final event that we'll talk about for this year, which was another really interesting first-time event, the WBSC Virtual World Cup, which was the e-game tournament of WBSC. 8,146 teams formed by two people apiece participated in that tournament, the winner capturing a $10,000 prize, and Kim Kwon-hee of Korea won the gold. The championship goes to Kim Kwon-hee. I don't speak Korean, so I don't know the meaning of that name, but I will say the names of the teams that won silver and bronze were as good as it gets for me. Mexico's Tacos Al Pastor won silver, not only one of the best e-gaming teams in the globe, but also my favorite kind of taco, Tacos Al Pastor. And then the Bash Brothers from the United States, the Bash Brothers came in with bronze. The Virtual World Cup is a really cool event, and especially in the world that we currently inhabit now, whether it's post-pandemic or hopefully toward the tail end of the pandemic or wherever we are, you know, e-gaming is a massive thing. It was a massive thing prior to the pandemic, but it's very cool to see people connected around the globe in a time where over the last few years, we have all felt so distant from each other. Having an event like that is so, so cool. And a huge congratulations to Kim Kwon-hee for the championship.
You just said the number of teams that played virtually, and that is just, that's just great. And it says again how many people around the world are so into the sport and on the diamond or on the virtual diamond. I mean, this is just great. Another idea from the Confederation to involve people from all around the world in a virtual place that at the end of the day, well, you get very well rewarded.
Yeah.
But just to play, you know, just to play and say that you can represent your country. I think at the end of the day, that's probably the ultimate prize. No, I mean, I can represent the country. Maybe you and I, Tyler, compare up and we can represent this area of the continent.
Yeah, we could do we're like a cross-border team here.
Right,
we're breaking boundaries. We would have to think of a really good name.
Mm.
Maybe that's going to be our task from now until the next time that we get to call games together. We got to brainstorm what our team name would be. Somebody already took Tacos Al Pastor. Now I'm a little bummed that that's stolen. Silver medalist.
You know what? We could do something with Coyotas something.
Ooh, I like that idea. Coyotas, I like that idea. Good.
They were good.
Oh man, Hermosillo. God, what a place. All of these places. It's just like you come to the end of a year and you look back on all the cool things you got to do with WBSC and you just feel like the luckiest person on the planet. And man, we had some fun. We had a lot of fun. And
Describe a Coyota to the audience.
Because that's a very good question. Yeah, it's not a cookie. And it's
big.
Not,
it's like
yeah, it's
probably
big.
Like a pancake size.
Yeah,
but it's not as fluffy as a pancake.
Right.
Jesus.
But
they're
more,
filled.
It's denser and they're filled. Oh man, and they're so good. And it's filled with what was it? It was like fig-ish.
Yeah, it was over here it's called pretty much I think everywhere, because I don't think there's like a real translation for it. Cajeta, which is one of those I don't know how to describe it.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Like, can I say like a trademark or something here? I mean, you know, like the Nutella thing ish. So
yes.
Sometimes they fill it with that,
right?
And but cajeta is not that. It's
not
similar,
Nutella. It is similar, and it almost this is how I sort of described it to people. We were just like crushing these in the booth one day. And I said, you know what these kind of remind me of? It's like a very nice version of, and my American listener, I would imagine probably a lot of listeners around the globe will know what these are, but there are these sandwiches that little kids love called Uncrustables. And they're
I love them.
Tony
I
loves
love
them.
But
it really, it's
them.
Like
I love them.
Two like doughy pieces that are stuffed with, you know, peanut butter and jelly in the case of Uncrustables. And yeah, now
and they're like the bread or the breads. I don't know how to call it. They're like already. Geez, how do you call it?
Yeah, they're like crimped together almost. They're like sealed. It's like as though somebody has soldered them together. It's that'll be the next edition of the Global Game. Will be like the foods of baseball internationally. We'll just talk about the best things that we've eaten. Oh man. Well, another amazing year is in the books on the WBSC calendar. And we had so much fun. You can go to WBSC.org right now and take a look at what's coming up in 2023, events that will be going on across the globe. We got World Cups. We've got regional competitions. We've got continental competitions, all kinds of fun stuff, which you can find at WBSC.org. And before you know it, Tony and I will be back on the air somewhere doing some baseball stuff and having some fun. And it's so good to see you, man, from, you know, even inside a computer screen. It's great to see you again. And I can't wait until we're, you know, eating some sort of pastry in another place together again.
It's our virtual game, I guess. But yes, I mean, I cannot wait for next year and, you know, calling games with you and covering more events and calling more games from the WBSC. And you know what? I'm looking forward to many tournaments. And I remember that you told me when we were at U15 and I was going to head to U18. You said U18 is my favorite. You're going to enjoy it a lot. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm super ultra looking forward. Oh my God, my voice. I'm looking forward for the Premier 12.
Yes.
And that cannot come any sooner. I mean, I'm waiting for that one so much. Obviously, the rest of them as well. And we talk about, you know, the baseball five and the virtual ones and yada, yada, yada. But Premier 12 is definitely on my calendar. I'm just waiting for more announcements. And so, yeah, stay tuned and check out the webpage for more information and social media. And we hope we can be there together soon, my man.
Absolutely. We've got some new fun stuff coming up next year. There will be a U23 Men's Softball World Cup that was just announced, U18 Men's Softball World Cup. The Women's Baseball World Cup makes its much anticipated return coming up in 2023. Another one of my absolute favorite events. We're going to get dates and schedules and sites confirmed for all these. U18 Baseball World Cup will be back. The Baseball 5 World Cup for the youth level will make its debut in 2023. The Virtual Cup all kinds of great stuff. And you can head to WBSC.org right now, click on the events tab, sort for the year 2023, and find all the information there. So excited for another year coming up just right around the bend as we head toward 2023. I don't know how that happened. From all of us at WBSC, we wish all of you the safest and happiest and healthiest of holidays, wherever you are, whatever you celebrate. And for Tony Alvarez, for our production legend at home in Columbia, Alan Rastowiak, and for all of us at WBSC, my name is Tyler Mon. Happy holidays. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you in 2023.